Greetings, everyone. Welcome to this week's Coffee with Digital Trailblazers. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. I'm glad you're all here. I hope you have plans for this evening. I hope you have something ready for that special someone. Until then, we'll join here for some coffee and have a casual conversation around workplace transformation in the AI era. Embracing new roles and skills. This was a topic that one of the members of the Digital Trailblazer community have recommended. And we had it scheduled for a few weeks ago, got bounced around, and here we are. I'm happy to say that we have a full house today. All of my experts are here. And so it should be a lively conversation. I'm just noticing that I need to update this graphic that you're seeing and get everybody on here. Let's see who is not here. Derek, you're not on here. We're going to have to get you on here for next week's episode since I'm doing all the graphics again. But I'm glad you're here. We're going to have a lively conversation. This should be fun. If you are here listening, please join in on the comment stream. One of my aspirations for this week is to see if we can get to a 25, I'm making up that number, list of skills that people should be developing in this Gen AI era. Whether you're doing it by learning, by practicing, one of the themes we are always speaking about here at the Coffee Hour is lifelong learning. And I can't think of a more important topic in this generation right now about all of us beefing up our skills around how we're using AI, how things that we do on a day-to-day basis is changing, and what we need to do to really be employable and exciting, have excitement in our roles going into the future. So today again, we're going to be talking about workplace transformation in the AI era, embracing new roles and skills. And just to like kind of create a little bit more scope and around the conversation, I've asked all of my experts here to think about the tech, data, innovation, and marketing roles that where skills are going to change dramatically over the next, and I'm calling it 2 to 5 years because I don't want to get stuck in what Gen AI is doing here now. You know, what we're learning and practicing here in 2025, we may not put to real use till 2026 and beyond. So it does take time to build up our skill sets. And I'm going to start with Heather this week. Heather is our resident people person expert. She's an executive recruiter. Her company is May Associates. Heather, I'm just wondering, what are you seeing? What are you hearing? What are you thinking about what skills are most important for the Gen AI era? And for those of you on and listening, please do come say hello. Please do chime in with your thoughts around this. My aspiration goal is, again, to come up with a list of 25 that I can publish on my blog. Hello, Heather. Welcome to the floor.
Thank you so much, Isaac. You know, the first thing I just want to say with AI and knowing that it is so technologically oriented, when you talk about HR or recruiting, we have to really keep the human in the human resources. So that's the most important thing. Jobs are definitely changing. And within an organization, being able to upskill them, upskill the people that are already there. And being able to find people that have the skills that they need. Certainly, from a resume standpoint, anyone who has anything that's AI on their resume will be highlighted for a role versus someone who doesn't. And I've been telling people and coaching people that there are classes that you can take and trainings that you can take. I have one of my candidates took MIT in healthcare, AI in healthcare, and got a certification. These are all things that really will help. But when you're using, there's going to be a lot of new titles that are coming out. There's one HR GP designer, GPT designer. These are helping people create custom applications. The former HR business partner will evolve to the AI business partner and coach. The workplace futurist, and that will encompass so many things about the future of work and workplace well-being leaders. Because what you're going to see a lot of, not only in the transition where people are uneasy because of the political climate and DEI and changes in the current administration in the U.S., but also that fear of where their jobs are going to be going. So making sure that people, the leaders within an organization, are focused on that, as well as AI ethics leaders. And we can talk about that when we talk about data.
That's quite a list right there. How do you, I just want, how do you foresee like the business partner one? That applies to several different roles in enterprises. There's technology business partners and relationship managers. There's HR ones. There's sometimes there's marketing organizations have it. How does AI fit into that equation?
Well, I think that I see, and again, I take it from the people standpoint. So when you have like a new joiner, someone who maybe just graduated college or his or her master's program, you know, they were going to be doing some of those low-level positions that now AI and the automation can be doing, whatever it's filing or sifting through resumes, for example. So the HR business partner, the AI business coach, will be able to monitor and manage those people, give them apprenticeships so they can see how to do other roles because those low-level positions will take less time. These people are digitally savvy already, new graduates, so they'll be able to monitor the data going in and the data coming out. And I think the other thing to consider from a manager standpoint, so the next level is these managers will have a lot more time to develop relationships and really manage people as opposed to manage the admin and the paperwork that just takes the lifeblood out of your day.
Thank you, Heather. I'm gonna go to Joanne and then maybe Liz after that. Joanne, we got into a lot of the people side of skills that are impacted by AI with Heather. Where do you want to take us, Joanne? What's important in this AI generated Gen AI world?
I would say that the way AI is evolving and the way people are using it, two very particular skill sets come to mind. One is collaboration will move towards ecosystem building because of AI. So you'll have your, over time, as we get more proficient with the accuracy of AI. And as AI continues to progress, the collaboration among humans and machines will continue to evolve to the point that we'll all have our ecosystem of AI tools and human subject matter experts and collaborators. And that is not like a network that will continue to grow. It's very purposeful in terms of the ecosystem because we will just by osmosis be looking for those people that fit a particular skill set will be purposeful about it. And that's much more an ecosystem model than it is a collaborative network. That's one set. The skill in particular that I think every digital trailblazer needs to develop and really hone is skills in critical thinking. Because creativity comes from critical thinking. Innovation comes from critical thinking, and it's a skill set that not everyone has by nature, and that certain people really need to develop. It's future forward. It's learning how to look at the right signs and the right guideposts, not to be predictive based on what happened in the past, but to be future forward. That level of critical thinking absolutely needs to develop. And be
Joanne,
developed.
that's quite a list.
I love that.
I do. Go ahead, Liz.
I love that. And a guiding principle for me is always around pragmatism. And you know, when you're talking about workplace transformation, what's important is that you don't get blindsided by it. Pete, there's a lot of fear, right, out there around AI. Like, what's gonna happen? What's gonna happen? What's gonna happen? What's gonna happen to me? What's gonna happen to them? What are they doing over there? Blah, blah, blah. Right. So for folks in terms of workplace transformation and going back to what Joanne said around critical thinking, I think it's important that people have an outlet to talk about it in their in the normal course of the work that they're doing. So pragmatically speaking, how are these folks incorporating AI, thinking about AI, learning about AI, sharing about AI? Can you bring in speakers to your groups? Can you have a lunch and learn weekly or monthly basis? I would recommend weekly because it's moving so fast for people to share, you know, get pizzas are cheap and, you know, most people are at home anyway, so you can it's even cheaper. To get people talking about what they are hearing about it, what their concerns are, how they think it could help them, what else is going on in the company, and to keep those lines of communication open. And again, going back to critical thinking, what Joanne was talking about, is get people to start thinking in terms of where are their critical thinking already can be applied to incorporating AI into their job so they don't feel left behind or sidelined by it.
Thanks, Liz. I'm going to call that an AI facilitator. I don't know if that's the right title, but I do like it. I mean, it's somebody who's people-centric, almost counseling, almost, you know, hearing what people are saying and guiding them on how to potentially use AI as a group or as an individual. I think that's really interesting. It's sort of like a cross role between training and change management, but
Exactly. It's
seeing.
about organizational change. Exactly.
I really like that idea. I've got two hands raised. I'm going to go to Derek first and then John. Derek, I hope you have some ideas for security professionals.
Absolutely. That my realm. And Joanne was sparking when she mentioned the word ecosystem, because that's the world that I live in. And my flair is looking at things from how to create resilience within the ecosystem or the enterprise. So if I'm looking at skill sets or requirements from an artificial intelligence point of view, I'm going to look at, first of all, an AI security architect. I need to get somebody in there to understand my current ecosystem, the application services I'm working with, but how I'm going to integrate those new AI-powered type services applications within my ecosystem. And because of the ecosystem that I have now from an architect point of view, I need to better understand the threat intelligence. So now that I have the ecosystem developed, I need a threat intelligence analyst who will help me analyze and focus on those threats that be AI related. So when you're looking at leveraging AI, analyzing the large data sets that will be coming in and out of the organization and the emerging threats that may be looming, it's going to be important that I can analyze those from a threat intelligence point of view. And then a further thing, when I'm looking at the data that's going in and out of the organization, I need an AI security analyst. And the analyst is really going to help me focus on the monitoring of traffic with AI algorithms, looking at how they're going to identify any suspicious activity that may be taking place from internal as well as external stakeholders, but also looking at any development of new incidences or anomalies that may not be normal to the current ecosystem. And then if I have a developer in-house type group that I'm working with, I'm going to look at machine learning engineers. They're going to help focus from an AI security perspective, because it's important as we're now moving into this world in understanding how to manage it and work with it from a security perspective. So if I got machine learning engineers work with my developers to help deploy custom AI models, it's going to help increase my use cases to benefit the organization overall. And I think in starting with there is a good point from a technology point of view, because everybody's going to be in a different place. And I know companies aren't looking to plug and replace when it comes to artificial intelligence. So they really need to upskill their current personnel or hire these new ones that I just mentioned from a security perspective to help to secure their enterprise.
Thank you, Derek. I got four out of that. I'm not sure I know the difference between the threat analyst and the security analyst. Maybe we'll take that offline. We do have a really interesting conversation happening here on the common stream. I encourage you to ask a question or share a skill or role you think is important in AI. I will be mining some of these as we go, and I try to put a blog post around this. Keith, thank you for your idea on statistical AI. I'm not sure what that is either. I might follow up. Jay, I think if you're a developer, understanding RAGs LLM technologies, understanding vector databases, all really important. Hello, Christy from Florida. I'd love to hear your perspective. Welcome back, Ashish. We need to get you back here, Ashish. We haven't had you on the floor for a while. I love the idea of MOOCs and how training the workforce is going to change. I don't know if anybody's going to pick that up. Hello, Jason. And hello, Cato. Good to see you again. Hello, Abdullah. Who's next? John and then Martin. Your ideas on skills and roles that are important in the Gen AI era.
Yeah, and I think completely agree on the last comments on security. I think kind of getting a security mindset rolled out to everyone in the company, I think is going to be really, really important, especially since so many of the security mistakes that are really what are leading to breaches. It's, a lot of times it's, people make some type of mistake. I think another one is that it's going to be really important to do testing on things. I think it's going to be important to do testing everywhere that we're using generative AI, so that people are getting answers that they expect, so that the system continues to give answers that they that this the system should expect. So I just think in any place you're using a generative AI technology, I think needs to have testing going. And the next one is that now that we're starting to train language models on our own data, I think some of the concepts from kind of like library science are going to be really important, so that people can store their information and retrieve it and have really good information that the language models can be tested on, and just being good stewards of our data rather than just having data which is a mess and not usable.
John, you got two of mine right there. I mean, I think every time I speak about AI, and I'm speaking to someone who's excited about it, my first question is, how are you going to test it? How are you going to validate it? And when there's improvements and new capabilities around it, how are you going to do a regression test around it and see if it's actually working better? The tools in that space are not mature yet. I've done some writing around it. And the other area, when I've done work in AI, particularly around natural language, I actually hired people with library science backgrounds, people who knew how to create taxonomies, who understand translation from natural language into taxonomy, who just had that structured background. I think it's really smart for organizations who don't have a knowledge management capability. Think about building up that skill set. And I'm hoping we'll see more people employed in that area. So, John, good suggestions. We're going to go Martin and then Joe. We haven't heard from. Hi, Martin.
Hey, good Friday, everybody. A couple of different kind of directional things. One is I'm going to go the data side again. So yeah, the whole data governance, data ownership, and how do you use that data? How do you structure that data so that it can be used with AI? I think that's a critical underpinning, and the provenance of that data, all of those pieces around the data. So I think that's one kind of key side. And then the other side is taking a slightly different direction. If you think about a manufacturing space, think about an engineer working on a plant floor in manufacturing using a augmented reality display powered by AI, so that when he's looking at a piece of machinery, he can see the time series data that's happening right there and then. So think about all of those things, or think about a maintenance person maintaining a machine, and he's got a head-up display showing him how to do the maintenance. All of those things require a different set of skill sets. So they said a set of skill sets in how do you create and how do you build that kind of those environments in the augmented reality with AI built in, so that it can assist a person doing something. And then the actual usability of that side of things, the person using it. So you've got the kind of usability engineer in there as well. You've got the actual person using it, what skills they need in order to be know how to interact and potentially interact with cobots and things like that as well. So taking it in a kind of a few different directions there.
Martin, I love this description. It's like I don't know if I wrote down operational engineer. It's not the right name, but it's idea of like the intersection between VR and AR and AI in a physical environment and designing that experience. So it's helping people out in the field. We're going to need to come up with a better name around it, but that's probably the first real example we have. Maybe the AI facilitator that we talked about here. Those are two examples of new jobs that might come up as AI becomes more accessible, more usable and creating new opportunities for businesses. Joe, I want to go to you next, and then Joanne's raising her hand. She wants to take another round at it. Go ahead, Joe.
I'll give you my top five. I put them on the
Ooh.
board.
Ooh.
First and foremost, whether we're talking about AI or anything else, my top two are always number one, the ability to communicate bidirectionally, be able to explain things in understandable terms, and also the ability to listen and understand particularly needs, ways of doing things, how things are done today, so that you can then come up with new, better ways to do them. And the second is I have adaptability. It's probably not the right term, but I look for fire in the eyes. I look for enthusiasm, the interest and the desire to work differently and to help others work differently to improve their jobs. Those are always my top two, and that pertains to almost anything. Third would be security minded. And I think we've already heard from Derek and John that it's important to know what data can be used. As you said, the quality of the data is critical. So the idea of protecting the data that needs to be protected and ensuring the quality of the data that's being used are also essential. Fourth, I need someone that can think a little more strategically, somebody who can use agents, AI, machine learning, whatever tools and techniques are available to elevate their role and to help elevate others' roles. And then finally, I think as a manager, you're going to have to grow into the ability to manage agents, not only people, but being able to orchestrate work in combination with digital people and real people. So those are my top five.
John, I'm surprised we've gone through most of us already, and we've just touched on agents. I just jotted down agent developer and agent orchestrator. I think those are two definite areas that are going to get a lot more attention as enterprises start thinking about how to use agents that are built into platforms, and then some of them considering how do they develop their own agents. Go ahead, Joanne, and then we'll go to Liz.
Okay, thank you. I wanted to say two things and really, really stress these. We're talking about people's roles and the role, how work will change going forward. Please do not limit your thinking around generative AI. There are multiple kinds of AI out there. Some still go by the nomenclature of machine learning, but there's physics AI. There's a whole new field around geospatial. All of these have to be thought of because you need the right kind of person to do the right kind of job in a very, they're not niche areas. They may be called niche today, but within 6 months or a year from now, they're going to be very mainstream. And to the point being made about agents, let's also remember that agents sense and detect their environment, are designed to be run autonomously, which means that we have a new partner in our ecosystem of a machine doing part of the work and us doing another part. To that, I put in the chat for the group here. I'm using a term now called AI diagnostician because those are people who look overall at the enterprise and start looking at how they can guide and direct everybody within the organization to the right form of AI that they can use that will make life easier because there are limitations in the generative AI category. And also, when you're designing those agents that are meant ultimately to be run autonomously, you have gatekeepers, you have guardrails, you have data ingestion and data cleansing, and all of the data governance skills that come in, and the programmatics. So let's think about our developer communities from the tech stack or our ops communities and realize that in many cases, those are the areas that are the easiest for people to write agents around because there's not a lot of variability. They have specific guidelines and workflows that they work from, and those can be automated very easily in an AI environment. So I just wanted to make sure that people understand, it's not one size fits all. And that as you're developing roles and as people's roles change in the workplace, these are some considerations that also have to be brought into the mix of critical thinking skills and strategic approaches.
Thank you, Joanne. I'm going to go to Liz next, and then we're going to get into our next question just to prepare everybody. We're going to talk about the leadership side, digital trailblazers. You're now you could be a product manager, you could be a delivery lead, you could be a CIO, a CTO, a chief security officer, somebody who's at the leadership level and thinking about how they prepare themselves for AI skill and work transformation from AI. So that will be our next conversation. Liz, you can jump in there or stick with your original thought comments. Go ahead, Liz.
I'll just help you transition. How about that? So
Perfect.
I mean, I started, my initial conversation was about, roles around making sure that your team is comfortable with AI and leveraging your teams into AI, right? From an organizational change perspective. And I know that I usually talk about governance, but I'm gonna sort of just leave that out there because a couple of people have already talked about governance plenty. And I think that goes as a given. But part of governance that's critical is making sure that you're getting the value out of the AI investment, right? And what I've seen is lots and lots of folks throwing tons of money at AI because, yeah, it's the next sexy thing, and trying to make sure that they're, let's just see what we can get out of it. Let's just see what we can get out of it. But at some point, you have to make sure you actually are getting something out of it. So, how are you taking a look at that investment, like any innovation, and managing to limit, not to limit your innovation, but to limit your investment to that it's actually pragmatically generating the value that you want and that you're actually measuring that value and not just, spending money, hand over fist. So this leads into your leadership conversation because I think this is very much a leadership, almost like a portfolio analysis. Like, how much are we going to put on this bet and how much are we looking to get from it, from a portfolio perspective, and how are we monitoring that?
Love it, Liz. I'm going to call that, for lack of a better word, fin AI, almost like what happened in cloud operations, where they needed to create a
100%.
whole set of new tools and new disciplines around FinOps. I think you're looking at it more on the front end side, which I think is, where should I invest rather than where is the investment paying off? I think it's both sides of the
Both
equation.
sides, both sides.
Yeah, so I think that's an interesting one and lacking today. Folks, you have joined the Coffee with Digital Trailblazers. We meet every week here discussing topics facing digital transformation leaders. We cover leadership, process, the dirty word governance, and sometimes technology. Today, we're talking about embracing new roles and skills around the AI era. There's a very, very healthy comment stream going on here during the coffee hour. So I hope you all share your thoughts, your ideas around it. There's a couple ones I want to point out. John Shura mentions the importance of data quality and how that's going to change and is changing because of how we're using AI. There's a whole skill set around unstructured data that went from backseat to front seat because of generative AI. I think that's a very interesting area. And Roman, I want to thank you for this comment. He talks a little bit about what's happening in the interview process, a lot of people being laid off. That's actually top of mind for me, Roman. I've gotten way too many notifications this week of people that are looking for jobs. So if you are looking for jobs, if you want to state so publicly, leave something in the comment stream. Hey, I'm looking. If you don't want to do it publicly, do message me. Let me know you're looking. I talked to about three people this week about this. It is a tough time for people, particularly in the IT era. I think IT functions. I think the journal came out stating that unemployment in IT is about 5.9%. It's pretty awful. I do have two events coming up in the next 2 weeks. I'll be doing a Digital Trailblazer dinner in Charlotte, North Carolina. So if you're listening from that area and want to meet up for dinner on Thursday night next week, I'll be hosting a dinner. So do reach out to me around that. And then I'll paste the link. I'll be speaking in Houston, Texas at the Microsoft Technology Center around AI governance, offense and defensive strategies. I'll put the link to register to that event, as well as a number of other links in the common stream as we keep talking. I'm going to go to Heather next. Heather, looking for leadership roles. A lot of people with leadership roles looking for their next roles. What are you looking for, or what should people think about when they're in a leadership role, so that they're skilled for this Gen AI era? Go ahead, Heather.
I'm going to answer that, and then I just want to address something that Joe and another person mentioned. So I think you leaders, particularly in the C-suite, and Joe always talks about this is communication. So if they're going to have buy-in, if they're going to believe in it, believe in AI, and believe in the automation and the value that AI can bring, they must communicate it down. They must get buy-in of their leadership, so that it gets inculcated throughout the organization. And you have to be creative. And it's not just from an AI perspective, because one of the things Joe was talking about sounded to me more like when you're interviewing somebody. And I used to, when I interviewed research business analysts, I would say to them, here's some questions that normally will come up. What kind of, how would you approach this? It's not, I don't care about the answer. I want to know what steps you would take to find out the answer. And now you don't want them to say, well, I would just throw it into ChatGPT, or I would just throw it into JI and just see what the outcome is. It's being creative. And from a leadership down, they have to be creative. One of the great stories that I heard was IKEA. They had 8,500 customer service reps, that some of their positions were minimized or eliminated because of chatbots and more automated responses. They trained, upskilled all these people to become interior designers. Through that effort, they had a whole new revenue stream, 1.4 billion in doing interior decorating for the company. So you have to think both laterally, upward, downward, and being creative, because just because you're using technology, don't forget that these are people, and how can you get them to embrace a new way of thinking and a new way of working?
Heather, thank you for that. Did I cut
There
you
was
off?
one other, no, sorry.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I can't remember his first name, I'm sorry. And I know I've spoken to you when you talked about your students and the burnout with the applications. So many people are burning out with their jobs in general, and the lack of resources that you're getting, or responses that you're getting from applications. So leaders have the responsibility to be respectful of their people. If they don't know how to implement work-life balance, thank you, it was Roman.
Yep, it
Work-life
was
balance,
Roman.
flexibility, hybrid, remote, one size does not fit all. And AI will not fit all, whether you're using, all the different types of AI, and looking that you have a concern for their mental and physical well-being and the benefits that you offer. And the leadership must demonstrate that they care. And it's not just, we're implementing this, we don't care who loses their job, we don't care who embraces it. You can't do that, have that kind of attitude. It's going to be, you're not going to retain people, you're not going to attract people, and that's the way a company will succeed.
So empathetic leadership is back.
It should never have left, but yes.
Interesting. I mean, there's the news points in the opposite direction to some extent, and there's a article again in Wall Street Journal talk. You mentioned hybrid working and things like that, talking about the impact of Amazon's announcement. People showing up and not finding desks and not finding enough parking spaces and showing up and just being on Zoom calls because there's nobody in their office that they actually work with. So it's a difficult time right now, and AI anxiety is at the top of the front. You know, when I think about, you know, for example, we want to project a little bit further ahead. AI is claiming to do about saving developers about 1 to 2 hours a week. That's a study that I quoted in my blog post this week. It was about the ROI of AI, and my message to folks was, don't rely on productivity improvements. Your CFO will listen to that and say, I'm not waiting for the ROI of productivity generating value. I'm just going to cut people. And I think a lot of that is happening. So, you know, you think about what happens as ROI, as AI gets better, and that 1 hour a week becomes, I'm sorry, it was 1 hour a day, becomes 2 hours, 3 hours a day, where I can do different things as a developer, or I do different things as a writer, or as a marketer, because Gen AI is slightly getting better in its quality and its ability to learn context. And you start wondering how those job shifts are going to affect people. And then going back to leadership, how they think about hiring, training their teams, and what they're getting ready for. Who's raising their hand? I think Joanne, were you raising, or is it Liz? I think Joanne
Both
was
of
first. Go ahead, Joanne. Joanne, go ahead.
us. Okay. So to your point, the efficacy and efficiencies of AI are not 100%. They're certainly more in the 85-ish range. And so what I'm starting to see a lot of is those that were very early adopters to code capability. You know, there's a number of tools that are out there that will assist in development work from the tech side and are also being used to, you know, create your content calendar in marketing or pick a function and add AI to it. Over time, the amount of rework is rising, not diminishing. Even though AI is getting more proficient in its levels of accuracy, there are other factors involved. And so the amount of things that need to be redone is increasing. And people need to be aware of that before they jump on the bandwagon and think that you can give full-time employees free rein to use these tools to do their jobs to be allegedly more efficient or to consume less overtime for cost efficiency. It's being made up in rework. So, again, this term AI diagnostician has been adopted by a few people, but it really means looking from the broadest perspective at all the piece parts that may need to be redone that are not 100% accurate, and those time savings that you're referring to, Isaac. Are actually going to be eaten up in QA, in test, and in pullback from production.
Yeah, look, I'm not a big fan of just looking for productivity. I've been saying that here and through my writing for a while. You need to look value beyond that. And to your point, Joanne, you know, value in one role or in one part of the workflow that has downstream impacts, whether it's quality, whether it's security, it may not all net out as best as you think it does. And I think there's something to also be said. This might be for a different conversation, but the lost skill in being able to think through things yourself, I don't know what that impact's going to look like over time. And there's people smarter than me really thinking about that. I want to
Well,
go
human
to,
in the loop isn't going anywhere.
well, I hope so. I really hope so. Because there's a lot of people who would rather take the humans out of the loop. It's kind of crazy. I want to go back to let's
Know.
go to Martin and Joe. And I actually want to bring Heather back into this equation too. If you're hiring people today, I want to reverse the question. If you're hiring people today and you know how important AI is going to be for one of your leadership roles, how are they expressing that in their resume? How are they proving that? How are they how do they demonstrate that? What are some of your ideas around that? Let's go to Martin first.
I think it's a really difficult thing to actually answer, actually, because there's so few people that have actually had lots of demonstrable experience with this and proven results because it is so early. So I'm going to be more looking, if I'm looking at a resume, I'm looking for a leader who's going to drive AI or something. I'm going to be looking at some of the things mentioned earlier. I'm going to be looking for creativity, critical thinking, ability to think beyond the current and think how things could be different. And I'll be looking for them to use examples from their past to demonstrate those types of things to prove that they can then develop and drive that AI life. Obviously, they may need to have a good understanding of some of the where the technology is and things like that at a leadership level, but it's so difficult to prove at the moment. I don't know. Does that what you were thinking, Isaac? What's your thoughts?
I'm first of all looking at what use cases that leader jumped onto. Are they pragmatic? Going back to some of the suggestions Liz said, somewhere around only like 18 to 25% of AI use cases are making it into production. So, they're making good choices about what programs they're getting involved in. I might ask during an interview, how have you used AI to su some success, and where have you seen it not? Where'd you find it problematic? I was doing some research last week for specifically for the keynote that I'm doing in a few weeks, and I said, I want to find the most important AI announcements that came out between September and November of last year. And quite frankly, AI couldn't do it. Not, Gemini, that's looking more recent, Perplexity, they gave me garbage. And that would be part of my answer. I mean, it does phenomenal work around research, but it could not tell me what the most important headlines were. Pretty bad. There's a book I just finished to help those of you looking around this. It's called The AI-Driven Leader. It's by Jeff Woods. It has, it's probably most important recommendation is to change your mindset and thinking. How can AI help me do something? How do you think about AI as a partner? And have you spread your time across several different tools so you're starting to learn which tools are working for you better?
I
There's
think
some.
as well, Isaac, I would also throw in there, I would be looking at, do you understand what AI downfalls are? What are the pitfalls? What are the things you can, fall into, the traps and things like that as well?
Those were my exact next statements. Joe, what are you thinking about here? The board hires you to hire
Isaac, you're
to build
killing
up
me,
the
man. You
team.
keep skipping over me. Go
I said Joe is next.
ahead. I was supposed to be after. Okay, never
Oh my, did I really skip over her? I feel bad.
You
The
did. It's
senator
fine.
from New Jersey, the senator from New Jersey yields the floor to Elizabeth.
Oh boy. Wow, there, go ahead, Liz.
All right, thanks, Joe. Oh, you were supposed to put me after. Okay, never mind. After Joanne. So anyway, listen. This move of AI for productivity is amazing. I love what Heather said about, reviewing resumes just in that one use case. It's like how many hours and hours and hours. I mean, we can have a whole conversation about whether or not that was a good thing or a bad thing and how people are gaming the system or how many people are getting overlooked because humans aren't looking at resumes, whatever, and the rework to Joanne's point. But I think that the use of AI needs to refocus onto revenue generation opportunities. And I think that's really where people are not seeming to get their mind wrapped around it as much, especially around services, that there are ways to create stickiness. I've been working, I know you guys know that I've been working with a startup around music, but it is around creating stickiness around a service. And, Netflix has been doing it for some time, so they have some clue about what's going on. But you can tell how rudimentary it is by the fact that they keep showing you the same stuff over and over and over and over and over again. There's definitely opportunities, otherwise you wouldn't go to Hulu, right? So there's opportunities to create revenue around by using AI that's beyond what people are thinking right now. And I'm sure some of those companies aren't thinking about it, but outside of the
Thank you.
entertainment industry, there's probably that's really where we should be thinking.
Liz, you're throwing me a softball, but I'm not going to hit that. I agree. The complete opposite of productivity. If you're really looking for transformation, you need to start thinking about revenue and growth and customer experience. And then the workflow will come from that. And then the productivity might come from that. But really, really a good example there. We're going to go to Joe next, since he ceded the floor, and then we'll go to Heather after that. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, thanks, Isaac. So three quick things. Number one, I've always espoused the philosophy that you want to surround yourself with people that are smarter than you. I mean, that's part of the reason I show up here every Friday. And I practice that in the hiring approach. If I'm trying to get a leader in, I want to hear something from this individual that perhaps I didn't know or that sounds intriguing or interesting to me. So leadership style is one area. The other is twofold. Tell me about a success, hopefully in the AI arena, but if not, in some other arena. Tell me about a success and how you drove it. That's important. And then equally important is tell me about something that didn't go as planned, because most of the AI work in the last couple of years really hasn't come to any great conclusion or good outcome, right? So what did you learn from the failure, and how would you do it different? Those are some of the things I would do.
Very good. Go ahead, Heather.
All the notes that I was writing from your conference, everyone's comments, I agree with. I would talk about storytelling, because I think that you can hear about what people are doing, what they've done in their past, as an indication of where they are in the future. And interview the same way that you would anybody else. What have you been your successes? What have been your failures? What are some of the initiatives that you've taken on your own? And what are some of the initiatives that you've championed for the company? There was one guy that I was talking to about a senior level in supply chain, and he was working on getting the inserts out of the packaged prescriptions. And my first thought was, well, what are you doing? People need to know, what the ramifications of taking a certain product. He said, we are now embedding a QR code. I said, okay, what are you doing for people that don't have a cell phone? And he said, we're testing that with elderly people that, are older and may not be able to use that kind of technology, as well as people in countries where telephone usage is not as dominated, although it's in so many countries. But my point here is that it's a creative use. It's a creative way that you've championed people, and you brought individuals from all over the organization, from marketing to packaging to supply chain and vendor management, of who you're going to use to test this process. And that shows creativity. That shows an element of they will be able to either come up with a new idea or champion one that we've already established in the new organization.
Heather,
thank you, Heather.
That
I got
also shows critical thinking skills for future use, because you're accommodating multiple personas as part of that use case. So kudos to him for figuring out that not everyone is the same. Not only are our levels of capability different, but we also have to increase our awareness of sentiment analysis. How will people react to this? And he's checked that box. This is where creativity and critical thinking come together to future-proof how we approach AI. A QR code can be viewed by AI and used to track, trap, and trace and do a number of other things. But it's a really good point, because that's what I'm talking about when I mention critical thinking skills and creativity. Sorry for jumping in.
No, I'm glad you did, Joanna. I'm going to ask folks on the common stream, critical thinking, should we cover that as a topic in by itself? Give me a thumbs up somewhere, some indicator that this is a good idea. And we'll put it on the list. I'm coming up with the March and April list as we speak. Hello, John, and then Derek. I'm getting thumbs up from the speaking crowd. So go ahead, John and Derek.
Yeah, and I always think about people trying to chase productivity, but I've done activity-based costing, for thousands of people and organizations, and there's so much downtime that people typically have, and so it's like, and then I also think that like everywhere people are rolling out generative AI, like sometimes they're officially the companies are rolling out, and the other times people are just using it through shadow IT, and so. The worry to me is that if people are just using generative AI and they're not really looking at the quality of the results, they'll get the calories, but it'll be like fast food, like McDonald's food. And so I think in order for, to really have value, we have to get output that's better than what the humans would do. And then we have to get output that's better than we would just by increasing people's use of time. And so that's why like we have to do everything we can, I think, if we're going to get value, to get a higher quality, to get, whatever we're doing, to get a higher bar than we used to have.
Making me think of a role, John. I'm going to call it a shadow AI rancher. Somebody who's going to bring in all the shadow AI experiments that are happening out there and figure out, how do we get them on the ranch doing things in a way that's driving value. Go ahead, Derek.
Yeah, when looking at the preparation, we're talking about, hiring for AI placement skills now, but I think we also need to be thinking long term. When Joe mentioned about strategy and strategic thinking and all those things associated with communications, right now, if you're planning for, you're growing your artificial intelligence workforce and whatnot, you're really planning for 2026 because it just takes time to bring those services up to speed, bring those people up to speed, and get the right people in house. But I also think the creativity side of the house is also important because you want to understand how people are going to think when it comes to those roles. When you're looking at the leadership element, from the CIO, from the CISO, from the CTO, those are all people that are helping to align the strategic business mindset, the mission, the overall development and generation of the business to really understand how AI is going to benefit them down the road. So, when you're bringing these people in, it's not just thinking for now, it's thinking, how am I going to use those people in the future?
Thank you, Derek. Let's see if we could do a lightning round on our last question. I almost was going to punt on it, but I'll let a couple of you a comment around this. What should company leaders do to prepare their organizations and aid their employees? And the reason I want to go here is back to Roman's comment. I mean, the answer isn't to shrink the workforce, or we hope the answer isn't to shrink the workforce. So what's door number two? How are we preparing our organizational leaders so that we're getting value from AI, that we're looking beyond productivity and we're developing our people? Go ahead, Heather.
I think number one absolutely is training. By just removing roles, removing activities, there is no demonstration by leadership to your staff that you care. And if you don't provide training, if you don't provide a sense of that their future, their career, their growth is not a priority, then you're going to lose people. And it doesn't matter what you have, it's just going to be for naught.
Thank you, Heather. Thank you for joining us this week. We got Joe and then Martin.
I'm going to double down on what Heather said. There is more work to be done than people out there with the skills to perform it. And so, I'll get on one of my other hobby horses that I keep talking about, and that's reskilling and upskilling your existing workforce. We have to invest in our people so they can learn how to use these tools and elevate themselves instead of getting themselves putting themselves out of work.
Thank you, Joe, Martin, and then Liz, and then
So
Joanne.
there was a book written, came out of MIT and Harvard a few years ago by Andrew McAfee, and I can't remember the other author, called The Second Machine Age. And basically, they demonstrated through each of the machine ages that had occurred, a whole load of jobs disappeared and new ones were created. And at the end of all of it, there were actually more people in the workforce than there were before, even though a lot of kind of non-value add tasks had disappeared. We're going to see that again with AI. So I think companies need to do a couple of things. They need to try and identify what are some of those future roles. And then, as has already been said, reskilling some of those people that whose roles are likely to be eliminated into some of those other roles. So I think that's kind of that future thinking. What are the new roles and what skills are needed for people to upgrade into those roles?
Thank you. Thank you, Martin. And Liz?
I'm very quickly. I love you, Heather. I love your optimism. I'm going to tell you that I think that right now, in the current atmosphere, I don't think that right now our employers really care about making sure that our folks are cared for or upskilled. And I think that people who are listening to this podcast, you are doing exactly the right thing in making sure that you're aware and taking care of yourself and learning as much as you can and upskilling yourself and maintaining as much as your skills as possible. So keep up the good work.
Thank you, Liz. There's a comment here I want to just reiterate for, before Joanne and John go. It's from John, and he talks about a skill set, John Morse. Copyright and patent issues with using Gen AI in a work setting. Talk about a skill that is ripe for people to grab and become experts in. Just a lot of the compliance functions, and even if you are not an attorney or in the legal department. So I just wanted to call that one out because we hadn't covered that yet. Joanne, go ahead.
Okay, one of the things I think that is often overlooked and shouldn't be overlooked, especially by leaders, especially by those of you in digital transformation, do not enter the AI world without making sure the systems of choice or however you're going to have development done have a closed feedback loop to capture the expertise of those who will no longer be with the firm going forward. Attrition rates may be high, but if you don't capture the institutional or inculcated knowledge of your workforce today, you will never be able to replicate the capabilities only using AI. AI will not be able to be as cognitively aware or have the sentiment or empathy that humans do. So capture that from the outset. Make sure there's a closed feedback loop because it informs your learning mechanisms in technology. It informs your hiring, job descriptions, and things of that ilk. Everything across the organization is based on what you need today, but it needs to be leveraged for the future as well. No matter how many robots, cobots, or AI capabilities you have, that intrinsic human knowledge will be lost forever if you don't capture it now.
Thank you, Joanne. Jason just threw you a softball on the comment stream. We didn't cover digital twins in any function here.
Anytime,
And
any day.
it's a good call out. There's a whole science to this that will explode and get more momentum with Gen AI, and that may have to be another topic as well. John, I'm going to give you the last word today.
I think now's the time to really truly look at like who you are as a company, like what are the mission of the company, what are the values of the company. Right now, I think companies are doing things that often don't allow with to be compatible with their values, and so I think companies really should think through who they want to be and how they want to treat their customers and how they want to treat their employees. And then the last one is, I really am concerned that generative AI and AI and this branch of technology is going to be something that actually deletes jobs or deletes good jobs and replaces them with maybe lower jobs. And that's my concern. I agree that it's so many of the other technologies out there, that's been the concern. But my worry is this one actually does, delete a lot of the good jobs out of the economy.
John, Liz, everybody, I'm going to let end this one on hopefully an inspirational note. Look back to all of our generations of implementing digital transformation, going back to the web. And the one unifying factor we know is that when we have a disruptive change technology, we need to think about how our businesses are going to generate revenue and improve or change customer experiences as expectations change with that capability. I think it was Liz who mentioned it first. How are we measuring? How are we generating new revenue, changing our products and services now that we have AI as an emerging and to some extent maturing capability. Most organizations have not figured this out yet. They will need people to be able to do this, whether you're an AI security architect, an AI analyst, someone versed on legal. You need that skill set to be able to participate in that conversation about where to change your business model and evaluate and change your products as AI becomes more mature, more affordable, and more scalable. And we're going to see this happen. We saw it happen with mobile technologies. We're going to see that happen in AI. Great conversation. I want to thank all my experts for being here today. We have at least two more topics that we're going to dovetail off this one. One on creative thinking that I thought was really important. And then I made a note around this about knowledge management in general. How are we going to do this, particularly in the industrial areas, when we don't have all that knowledge, we have an aging workforce, and we don't want the knowledge just buried in LLMs without a way of capturing it in a structured format. So I think we're going to talk about that in somehow. Folks, thank you for joining this week's Coffee Hour. Our upcoming episodes, did a little bit of jiggering of the schedule. Next week, we'll be talking about SMB transformations, how smaller, faster, safer wins against big and slow. So if you work for a smaller than 500, Fortune 500, I'm sure AI is going to factor in here. I'm sure automation is going to factor in here. We'll be talking about that next week. On the 28th, accelerating transformation, adapting digital strategy and turbulent times. We covered a little bit of that here. We'll be covering it more directly in that conversations. And on the 7th, I want to talk about AI era transformation again, bias, deep fakes, and mitigating risks. We said we're going to cover data bias and AI bias. That will be our episode on March 7th. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Thanks to everybody who commented. I'm going to try to make this episode on the Digital Trailblazer community open. The comments will be there. This dashboard will be there. I will create my 25-point list out of everybody's comments out of here. So thank you for collaborating with us. And everybody have a good weekend. Joanne, you're raising your hand. Do you have a last comment here?
Yes, very quickly. Happy birthday, Liz.
Whoa! We got to get better at that. Happy birthday, Liz. Thank you, Joanne, for the reminder. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. And we will see you here next week at the Coffee Hour. Have a great weekend, everyone.